Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 106? Psalm 106. We're actually going to be looking at a number of passages as normally we do. But we're continuing our series on our wonderful Lord and Savior. And so far, we have looked at his love, his humility and gentleness, his patience, his joy, his peace, and his faithfulness. Today, we're going to focus on two more of his related character qualities, his goodness and kindness. My prayer for you, as always, is that this series will cause you to understand in a fresh way our Lord's wonderful character and person, and thereby draw you into a closer personal relationship with him and increase your trust in him and your love for him. I know that there are individuals, because everybody's different, everybody's unique, and there are those individuals who have a hard time with relationships. They don't quite understand how a relationship works. And you're more comfortable with formula. You know, if you do this, this will be the result. And so, therefore, you're looking at God as someone that you say the right things to, and then it should help your life to work better. But listen, I really encourage you to go to the Lord and just talk to him in prayer and just say, Lord, I want to get to know you. I want to have a personal relationship with you. If you trusted Christ as Savior, then that is a possibility that you should strive for. Even if you have difficulty with human relationships, pray that God will give you that relationship with Him that you need. Let's read several verses this morning that describe our Lord's goodness and kindness. And I really appreciate your patience with me as I'm going to be coughing and I sound like death warmed over and all sorts of things, but just listen for the words and ignore the instrument. Psalm 106, verse 1 reads this way. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, and I encourage you to look at these passages as I read them. We're going to look at Romans 8, verse 28 as well. So, Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? And Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, a familiar verse to you, I'm sure. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Let's begin by defining these twin character qualities of our Lord. Let's look first of all at the definition of the New Testament Greek words translated good or goodness or do good. The adjective form good translates the Greek word agathos, which means good, generous, upright, virtuous. By the way, the first sentence found in 3 John 11 uses this adjective as a noun and translates it as what is good, as does Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The noun form goodness translates the Greek word agathosune, which describes a person's character quality of intrinsic goodness, virtue, or generosity. In the second sentence of 3 John 11, the verb form do good translates the Greek verb agathapoieo, which means to do good, to do well, to do what is morally correct. Psalm 106 is in the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, as you know. Therefore, the English word good in Psalm 106, verse 1, translates the Hebrew word tov, which refers to what is good, excellent, beautiful, fruitful, or useful. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, this Hebrew word is almost always translated by the Greek word kalos rather than agathos, since agathos always includes the idea of intrinsic or inner goodness, in contrast to the outwardly beautiful and useful goodness of kalos. Now, let's look at the definition of the New Testament Greek words translated kind or kindness. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the first word translated kindness is the Greek word chrestotes, meaning excellence in character, out of which flows kindness, gentleness, goodness, mercy. The second word translated kindness in this verse is the simpler Greek adjective chrestos, used as a noun, referring to an action or state of mind displaying kindness, graciousness, goodness, mercy. So, what is the practical application of this definition? What does this tell us about the Lord? Since the Lord is good, we can fully trust his actions toward us to be for our good. We can trust all his plans and purposes to have a beneficial outcome. Since the Lord is kind, we can trust his plan to employ the gentlest, kindest means possible that will accomplish his good purpose. We should never conclude that he is being unnecessarily harsh or that he could have used a gentler means to accomplish what was needed. And this knowledge of his goodness and kindness should comfort our hearts in times of distress and grief and discouragement, realizing that both his goodness and kindness are facets of his perfect love for us. So let's take these verses that we read a few moments ago and trace his goodness and kindness. Psalm 106, verse 1. Let's park there for a little bit. This verse exhorts us to praise and thank the Lord for his goodness, tov, his tov, and his everlasting loving kindness, chesed. It is a reminder that the Lord acts in good and generous ways toward us as his children. And he does it because loving kindness is a part of his character. His loving kindness, chesed, describes his loyal love, his compassion, his graciousness, his mercy, his kindness, and his gentleness. We have a great God who is indeed worthy of praise. And Romans chapter 2, verse 4 reminds us that the Lord is infinitely kind and merciful to us. Would you turn there to Romans chapter 2, verse 4 with me? Romans 2, verse 4, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? The fact is that if you have not yet repented of your sins and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then his great kindness should motivate you to repent of your sins and come to him for salvation. If you are saved, then, Christian, his great kindness and mercy should motivate you to take stock of your heart and life regularly. And if you have given in to any temptation, repent of your sins and come to him for cleansing and for restoration of fellowship. If you're in Romans chapter 2, turn to Romans chapter 8, just a couple pages over. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, reminds us that because of his character qualities of goodness and kindness, God is always causing all things to work together for good. And this should elicit from us a heart of thankfulness and trust, no matter what the circumstances may be. Romans 8, 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Because he is good, he works good in us. All this then brings us to our final main point, that for those of us who have trusted Christ to save us, God wants us to imitate his goodness and kindness. 3 John verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. When we trusted Christ as Savior, we were born into his family by faith in Christ. We have received a new nature that is like his. Now God commands us to be like him. This, as you remember from previous message, refers to his communicable attributes. In other words, character qualities we are enabled to share with him. Obviously, we cannot imitate his omnipotence, his omniscience, and other infinite abilities that only God has. But we can imitate his goodness and kindness. Remember from the previous message that Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is a list of Christ-like character qualities which the Holy Spirit is working in us as we cooperate with him and allow him to transform us into the image of Christ. Galatians chapter 5 then, verse 22, and the first part of verse 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Notice that along with others we have studied in this series, two of these Christ-like character qualities that we are to possess are kindness and goodness. Christotes and agathosune, for the Greek words translated from. To those of you who have repented of your sins and have trusted Christ as Savior, my question to you is this: would those who know you well recognize in you these twin qualities of goodness and kindness? Are you kind? Are you good? In every sense of the word agathos, as we've studied it today. Are you upright? Are you generous? Are you virtuous? If you realize that your life doesn't reflect Christ's goodness and kindness as it should, how do you change? The answer is found in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness, goodness. The Holy Spirit can't produce fruit in someone he does not indwell. If you've never repented of your sins nor placed your faith and trust in Christ to save you, then you don't belong to Christ and his Spirit does not dwell in you. If this is your case, I plead with you to repent and trust Christ today. In a few minutes, I'll take time to explain briefly how to be saved, so please keep listening. If you are saved, then the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. However, he won't produce this Christ-like fruit in you if you are not cooperating with him, if you don't want what He wants to produce in you. Are you surrendered to the Lord? Have you said to Him, not my will, but yours be done, Lord? Would you bow your head and close your eyes as we prepare to close in prayer? Before I pray, would you let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart concerning what we have learned from His word just now? Let me first speak to those of you who know you are saved from sin and hell, because you can remember a time and place where you repented of your sins and asked the Lord Jesus to save you. To you, I ask this: how did you answer the questions I just posed to you? Are you kind? Are you good in every sense of the word agathos, as we've studied it today? In other words, are you upright? Are you generous? Are you virtuous? Are you truly reflecting Christ's character in your life and speech? If you could not honestly answer yes, would you confess that to the Lord right now? Would you tell Him that you desire to reflect His goodness and kindness, and that you are trusting Him to enable you? Would you ask Him to produce that fruit in you as you commit yourself to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this? Have you caught a fresh glimpse of the perfection of your wonderful Lord, Christian? Will you thank Him for showing you more of Himself to you today? Are you rejoicing in His great goodness and kindness toward you? Now, perhaps you've been listening to this message and have realized that you don't know personally this wonderful Lord and Savior about whom we've been speaking. Would you come to the Savior who always keeps His promises, to receive His perfect salvation that He has promised to those who will repent of their sins and trust in Him for salvation? As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're not 100% sure that you are saved from sin and hell, would you listen carefully as I read for you several important scripture passages? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, of His perfection. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That death spoken of there is not just physical death, but Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15 explain what that is. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, 8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In this list, those who earn that second death, in mixed up with those who are admittedly deserving, in our minds, deserving of hell, murderers and idolaters. Yet notice there's also liars. And there's not a person on this earth that has not told a lie. So listen, we all deserve the second death, the lake of fire. But John 3:16 shows us the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life." In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." This salvation is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." In John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, who trust in him." Let me summarize what all of these scripture passages tell us and explain how it applies to you and me. First of all, we're all sinners, born with a sin nature inherited from Adam. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, which is absolute perfection, and thereby are condemned to an eternity in the lake of fire. But God, who is love personified, sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth to become man by being conceived in a virgin's womb, born in poverty in an animal's feeding trough, lived a perfect sinless life, and became the perfect substitute for sinful man by dying on the cross of Calvary to fully pay for our sins and grant us his perfect righteousness in place of our sins. Jesus Christ was then buried, rose from the grave on the third day, as he said he would, and offers us eternal life, salvation from our sins, and new birth into his family as a free gift if we recognize ourselves as sinners and understand our inability to earn God's favor and trust in Christ's payment for our sins instead of our own good works. And then if you individually and personally ask him to save you, he promised to save you and make you his child. My question to you is this: has there been a time you can pinpoint in your life when you recognized you were a sinner before a holy God, that you deserved the penalty of sin, an eternity in the lake of fire, and that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins and offers you eternal life as a free gift? And have you asked him to save you from sin and hell? If you could not honestly say yes to this question, then would you repent of your sins and trust in Christ alone to save you right now? To repent means to change your mind. It means now you agree with God about sin, about yourself, about salvation. And trust in Christ means you place your dependence on him alone. Would you simply ask the Lord Jesus to save you and make you his child right now? If you would like some help to do this, would you talk with me after this service if you're here, or if you're listening on Zoom or later on our website? Would you contact me by texting or emailing me? I'd be glad to help you make sure of salvation by showing you from the Bible how to be saved and clearing up any questions you may have. Right now, my voice is just about gone, but listen, God's salvation is there as long as you're alive. But you don't know how long you will have. Listen, if you're not saved, please make that decision today. Repent and trust Christ as your Savior. I'd be glad to help you do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for enabling me to preach this message. Lord, I know that my voice is feeble, but your power is infinite. And your love is infinite. Your goodness, your kindness is infinite. Lord, you have told us who have trusted you as Savior to imitate your goodness and kindness. Lord, for any who are here who know you as Savior, but they realize that they are not imitating your goodness and kindness as they should, I pray that you would work in their hearts. They would humble themselves, come to you, confess their failure in this, but desire with all their hearts for you to enable them to imitate your goodness and kindness. And Lord, I pray for those who are not absolutely sure that they're saved. I pray, Father, that they would remember what they heard. And Lord, that they would trust you as Savior today. And if they are still not sure and want to make sure of how to trust you as Savior, Lord, may they contact me by texting, by emailing, in some way, letting me help them, walking them through this again, so they can know how to be saved and they can repent and trust you as Savior. I pray that you'll do the work in the hearts that only you can do for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.